aspen wears all aglow. A book night after lands downstream, guitar in hand and summer heat. The faithful in their red and blue, a crowd outside the house of blues. A dodge of vendors, hawkers, gawkers, stalkers in my way. Breaking strings on cheap guitars, close my eyes. Salmon brought his heart to play. The doorman lands a smile away. One and two and three and four. Heads perk up, up goes the door. Breaking strings on cheap guitars. Close my eyes. That alley beyond that velvet cage. Until then, here we remain with our stranger rain singing ways.
Welcome to What's Happening here at WMFO, Medford. I'm Aaron.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Anna Madsen.
Hey there, I'm Brian Coombs.
Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
This is WMFO in Medford.
Love your new cover art for your new album.
Thank you. I actually took that
she
picture.
She took that picture, yeah.
A selfie.
Well, I'm a photographer as well. You mentioned that you were a photographer, too. So I took that with a self-timer. And, yeah.
It's a pretty sophisticated selfie.
More beautiful in person.
Aw, thanks. That's very sweet of you.
And it looks like you have two albums out.
Yeah, I do. I have Efflorescence, and my new one is called Whisper.
When did they come out?
Efflorescence came out last year, and Whisper just came out this past February.
Where did you record those?
At Rocking Horse Studio okay. in Pittsfield, New Hampshire.
Oh, great.
And that's my place.
Oh, that's your place.
That's
great.
Me.
Yeah. There you go. And you can explain what you do with the band.
Sure, yeah, I'm a producer. I own Rocking Horse Studio up in New Hampshire, and been working with Anna for 2 years, so somewhat of her producer, her collaborator musically, and Rocking Horse Music is representing her as a manager right now.
Oh, that's great, that's great. And you said that's in Southern New Hampshire?
It's in South Central. It's just east of Concord, New Hampshire.
Okay, okay. Yeah. The capital, I believe.
Yeah, it sure is. Good call.
There you go.
So, What brought you to music?
That's a loaded question. My mom is a musician. I grew up Mormon, so I went to church every Sunday, and so church music was a really big part of my childhood. And I loved musical theater growing up, and I listened to a lot of that. And I guess I just always liked it. And it wasn't until I got a little bit older that I started writing my own songs, and I guess the rest is history. So
what type of music did you listen to growing up, though?
So a lot of musical theater, a lot of church music, like old hymns. My mom really liked country, and my dad really liked 80s music, like 80s rock, 80s pop. So when I hit high school, I started venturing out into genres that I was interested in, like, and that ended up being more like also alternative, and I really love classical music too. So I really like the drama of musical theater, though, and a lot of the alternative acts that I listen to, like Imagine Dragons is a really big one for me, and I love Lana Del Rey, and anyway, so I just love music in general. I can appreciate any genre, so I'm kind of all over the place in terms of appreciation for music.
But she didn't grow up with the rock and roll that most of us grew up with.
Yeah, no.
Ironically, neither did I.
All right.
I grew up with listen to whatever my parents listened to, which is normally what you do.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what rock and roll was officially, other than the Monkees, you know, the Partridge Family, you know, the Brady's, the Beach Boys, because a friend of mine had me listen to it, to them. You know, Simon and Garfunkel, you know, Fifth Dimension. That's what my mother listened to. But I grew up listening to Beethoven and Bach and Chopin and Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, that's what I did too.
And awesome. Lerner and Lowe and Rodgers and Hammerstein and Gilbert and Sullivan. So
yes. Yes.
So that's what I grew up listening to.
Yeah,
and is exciting. Yes, she just met a soulmate.
Wait a minute, he's been living in your basement, right?
And then we moved to from the States to Germany, because here in the States, at this first generation of television, you know, so we had television during the day, but most of what was on television, all their theme songs, including cartoons were mainly classical,
mm-hmm.
which nobody knew as a child that you were learning about classical music.
Yeah, because I know exactly what you're talking about. I watched that stuff, and I also lived in Germany when I was little as well. That's crazy.
Yeah, I lived in Wiesbaden.
We lived in Hamburg, in Bamberg.
And, you know, it's like, moving to Germany, we had Armed Forces Radio, because that's what there was. And you start hearing rock and roll, and then, of course, the late, great Casey Kasem every Sunday with American Top 40. And it was just great to hear that. But then at night, unlike most people, I got to hear old-time radio. Mm. So old-time radio were all the radio dramas and all the plays and, you know, Jack Benny and Bob Hope, which is a little bit different than most of the people that I know.
Yeah.
So, you know, the theater of the mind and then the music. And
that's pretty neat.
It's ironic that I have a connection with that.
Yeah, we have a similar musical background. That's pretty cool.
Except for, I mean, I've written a song or two, but I have no musical talent.
Aw, but you have musical appreciation.
Oh, absolutely. You know, good friends of mine like Mr. Stewart over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's been a Boston talent for...
When they invented dirt.
So last Tuesday.
Yeah. No, that's mud.
Okay. So, on your new album, what was your inspiration?
Oh, that's a good question. So I'm a romantic, and so there's a lot of romantic themes in there. There's one song, one of my favorite songs, is called Golden Room, and it's about going to a ball. And Palm Reader is kind of like a haunting romance. And Cimmerian is my witchy love spell song. I don't know, I'm very inspired by stories and being able to tell a story lyrically and in a song. And I love when the musical landscape of the song can also tell the story. So instrumentation is really important for each song of mine. I want it to have its own theme, for lack of a better word. For this particular record, there was a lot of there's a lot of autobiographical stuff in there too, actually. So I guess my life would be an inspiration as well.
Would that be Devil's Garden also? We played that the other night on
Devil's Garden is very autobiographical. Black Dress is autobiographical. There are definitely some autobiographical, like close to me, like stories about me. And then Golden Room, I've never been to like a real full scale ball. I've been to like little balls, like at little studio, like New England has these dance studios and they put on balls once a month and I go and dance and that's wonderful. They don't do that anymore. But I've never been to a full scale ball like you see in the movies. And I've always been so infatuated with those scenes and I've always wanted to go to one. So I wrote a song about it.
It's interesting how the creative process goes. David Bowie mentioned before he passed away that basically he created a character and he lived out through that character.
Yeah.
Like he was performing in the theater.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how he got inspired to do the song. He felt that he had to kind of separate himself and become that character and then give you a view into that world.
Yeah, that's
instead of just coming from like, you know, me walking down the street and, you know, he wanted to embrace whether it be Ziggy Stardust and the, you know, the space and all that stuff.
That's interesting because even like a lot of my lyrics are very... Like, I'll keep going back to Golden Room because it's like a really good example. Like, obviously, I've never been to a ball like that, but like describing the scene and describing the story as if I was there, like that was more fun for me to write than maybe me talking about an ex-boyfriend or something. Like, and that would be more like Anna Jeffries, which is my real name, and this Anna Madsen is more like this romantic, ethereal person. That's like the other side of me, like the romanticized version of me, I suppose. So, yeah, I could see that. That's awesome.
So, this would be your Cinderella story.
Golden Room, yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Why don't we play it?
Yeah, that would be great.
So, away we go.
Candles sparkle everywhere. Violets nestled in my hair. Perfume clings to your color. Nothing in the world could bother. All the dancers, all the dreamers, whisking away the night. Hush now, my dear, it's time. Time to meet me, time to meet me in the golden room.
Absolutely lovely.
Thank you very much.
The Belle of the Ball.
Yes, someday. I'm determined.
We missed the boat trying to get that on the Beauty and the Beat Beauty and the Beast soundtrack.
That would have been cool, but that's okay.
I guess, you know, that is a big goal for a lot of people to get into a soundtrack and stuff. That's where really the money is in the business now.
These days.
Yes, it is, yeah. And actually, CD sales and other things, merchandise, I guess, is a good thing, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's hope that you can break that barrier right in there.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Someday, it'll happen. Just have to keep plugging along.
Determination will do it.
Yes. Very true.
So, besides singing and writing, do you play any instruments?
I play a little bit of piano, but nothing to boast about.
She's better than she boasts about.
Well, I didn't use the piano to write any of my songs, though. So I write songs in kind of an interesting way. I have the melodies that I like and the lyrics. Sometimes the lyrics come first, sometimes the melody, but I hear the melody in my head, and I like when I present the song to Brian, actually, because he's my producer, I sing it as if I was singing a song a cappella, and I sing the entire song, full lyrics, full melody. I have harmonies that I already want in place, so it kind of gives him an idea of what I want like the chord progression to be, and then I give him like mood boards and like examples of how I want the song to sound and what I want the aesthetic and the mood to be. And then we like go from there. So it's kind of, and each song, I think it's important for each song to be its own masterpiece and its own story. And I don't like filler tracks. Like I don't like that at all. And I will probably never be an artist like that. I like want every song to be able to stand on its own and tell its own story. So I really pride myself on the fact that each song has its own theme and has its own like quirky element that makes it different from the rest. And Brian does a really wonderful job of helping me write the music underneath and really listening to my vision, even if it might sound weird at first. Like one good example of that might be Sumerian. I call it my witchy love spell song, and I like had all these ideas. I'm like, I want like tribal drums, and I want the scary violin, and I want it to like sound like the violin needs to sound like it's in a horror movie, and I want it to be ethereal, and like all these like throwing out all these ideas and giving him all these examples, and he was like, okay, like, he believed in my vision and believed me, and then that's like, and it's like one of my favorite tracks of all time. Like I love that song, and it's very quirky, and but it's that was a really fun process. So
it's one of her Halloween songs.
It's my Halloween. I love Halloween. So I write music in kind of an odd way. And I don't know if I'll always write music that way. I think in the future when I collaborate more with other musicians and other songwriters, because I'm not opposed to doing that, because I feel like everyone can bring something to the table. I mean, case in point, Brian has brought beautiful, beautiful things to my music that wouldn't have otherwise have been there. So I'm definitely might write music more traditionally in the future. We'll see. But I probably am more, I'm a vocalist, but I think one of my strengths is definitely lyrics. I love telling stories. So I'll probably maybe in the future will end up working with people more on like melody lines and things like that if I don't have one in me at the time. But I always have something to say. So lyrically, I think that's a strong suit for me. So yeah.
It's always good to keep the whole area of vision open and never start editing yourself. It's better to get it all out there.
Yeah.
And then you can see what works.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, you never know in the future, you might hear something that's totally opposite of you and go, gee, I might want to explore that too.
Sure, that's very true.
But even with your photographs, especially when you go overseas and as you're doing your tour, that can inspire thoughts for...
Yeah, I have taken pictures that are actually on purpose, tried to match to the songs that I've done. And I really enjoy doing portraiture, so that's a little bit different, but I've done a lot of like still life stuff that could be very, like, match with certain songs, and that's fun. And
intertwining different levels of art.
Yeah, like one of the things that I have as merchandise is these art prints I've done, and they're like I love writing cards and letters, and so I put these art prints inside like a 5x7 card and then signed it, and that's like one of the ideas I had for merch, because it incorporates like the artwork with the music and
all of you.
So it's that's been fun for me to be able to like have that as a
Did you go to art school?
No, I almost did.
I did.
I almost did. I actually got a scholarship to a photography school at one point, but I'm self-taught. So I just have always enjoyed it. I've been doing it a
Having gone through art school, it's the people that have the motivation that succeed in it, not necessarily the training.
Right. Oh, well, yeah, I could definitely agree with that.
So you said you like palm reader.
I do. I love palm reader.
Now, we've got two versions on here. We've got the regular and we have the extended.
Let's do the extended.
I've got that set up.
Awesome,
I've got that set up.
The extended tells more to the of the story.
Finishes the story.
Because when I presented this song to Brian, I told him that I wanted the song to end in a waltz, and that was supposed on purpose because I wanted it to be like the lovers met at the end and they were dancing and falling in love. But then I wanted it to end on a diminished chord and have it end in a haunting way because you're not sure if they end up together or not. So the waltz itself is like telling the story, and you can imagine it in your head, which is so. And I'll just make a comment on this. I love classical music because the instruments are so passionate in themselves and they are telling a story, so you can imagine whatever story you want when you listen to a classical piece because there are no words. And so that's taking that and putting it towards palm reader, like that's how I want it to be. The story is gonna be different for any person who listens to it, but I kind of like wanted it to be.
She wanted a waltz, so
I
wrote her a waltz at the end.
So
you're listening to What's Happening on WMFO in Boston Wind Rock.
And our number is 855-915-WMFO or 855-915-9636. Mm-hmm. Let's head on to the song. Enjoy.
Yes, pedestrian safety. PSA. Pedestrian safety is a two-way street. Both drivers and walkers need to do their part to keep the road safe. When you're driving, drive at a safe speed, drive alert, and always scan the road and the sidewalks ahead for pedestrians. It's the law to stop for pedestrians, especially when they're crossing at a both marked crosswalk and an intersection. When you're walking, remember that a driver may not see you. Continue to watch for traffic as you cross. Always use the crosswalk and obey traffic signals. A life-saving message from your friends at WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM. Hope everybody heeds that advice.
It's good advice.
Always. So, if you were to give thoughts and inspiration to upcoming musicians and writers and artists, also photographers, what would you advise?
That's actually a really good question. I would advise to not try and emulate other people. And when I say that, I mean like don't, both in photography and music, don't write about what you think is gonna be popular. Don't photograph or edit and don't do post-production in what you think is gonna be popular. You should always, you should do what feels right to you. And sometimes that might be popular and that's fine. But I think it's important to be more authentic to yourself, and that might be cheesy, but I really do think that's important. And as far as music goes, I see this sometimes with up-and-coming musicians. What they write about, I think they'll write about, I don't know how to say this the right way, but I guess they don't put as much time into their lyrics, or they do a lot of cliches, or they do, or maybe they do what they think is going to get people to listen to them. And I think it'd be far more interesting just to write about your own experiences. You need to write what you know. I mean, Stephen King said that, and he's a freaking legend.
I think it was on Facebook or on some media. They were talking that a lot of the top hit songs have that rhythmic ooh wah wah or whatever it is, whatever that thing is, oop 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 or whatever it is, and
yeah, it was a particular musical interval.
Yes. And I'm wondering, you know, I know like in the 60s up to a certain point when the band went into the studio, they were at the mercy of the record company and the producer, and they could not maybe sometimes even play on their own records. They might have even sang on their own records. Now it seems that basically everything is geared toward the hit. So the producer says, well, you know, to have the hit, you got to do this. There was a well-known Boston band called the Nervous Eaters, and they got the Cars and everybody were getting signed, and all the PR, A&R people were coming into Boston. So they got grabbed up by, I think it was Elektra Records, and they got pulled in, and they found out that Elektra didn't want them to be themselves. They wanted them to be the next Cars. And they were more of a hard rock punk band. So they got talked into making a pop record, and the thing just went right into the toilet.
And see, that's where Anna would say, we already had the Cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And yeah, that's I have said that to Brian before. Like, don't try and be the next Taylor Swift.
We already have Taylor Swift.
Like, we already have her. Be whoever you are. And like I said, sometimes your style might be Taylor Swifty or something, but try and make it your own. I think that's, at the end of the day, just try and just be yourself, and because I think in the long run that will bring you more peace, because even if you never make it, you at least were authentic to you and you put something out there that no one else did. So I think that's what's most important.
Well, there was a band that was put together who became a band, a real band, and were told not to play their own music instruments, and they have, and they wrote their own songs, and they are the Monkees. You know,
I know that story. Yeah.
You know, are you going to be the Beatles? Or are you going to be the Beach Boys? No, they became the Monkees, and they're still performing, even though there are only two of them are performing right now. But you know, I guess that one song really sums it all up. I'm a believer.
There you go.
As we were talking earlier in the green room. And we were discussing people like a Ruby Rose Fox and maybe Lady Gaga, and basically they have their own vision and they don't want to be constrained by the music business. They want to do their own thing.
Yep.
And I feel that your spirit is going in the same direction as that.
Yeah.
Because it's a more honest way. And I think to get your creativity out, you're going to paint a whole new palette of pictures.
Right, and I have a voice in it, and what I mean, like the songs that you guys have heard so far, like I don't think a record company may have, if I had walked in and got signed, just walked in because I had a nice voice or something, I don't think they would have let me make those songs, and that's more authentic to me, and I'll always be proud of those songs.
They want you to be the new
songs.
Adele.
Yeah, like that, I'm, even if I never make it, I am always going to have the music that I've made, and I'm really proud of it, and I know it's beautiful, and I'll feel like very fulfilled that I was able to get it out into the world, and the few people that heard it, then there you go.
Yeah, from a business standpoint, you know, the approach that we're taking with Anna is a little bit more difficult. I'm asking Anna to just be Anna, and you know, a certain segment of you know, the music industry, at least here in New England, they just don't know what to make of Anna. They don't understand. Again, she's not from around here originally. Mm-hmm. So they just kind of wonder, well, who is this girl? And you know, all of a sudden she's performing at the New England Music Awards and she's selling out shows up in New Hampshire and she's going on European tours. But they just don't get it. It's, you know, oh, the music is too intense, or it's dark and scary.
I think that's
a
compliment.
You know? But you are a pleasant surprise, though.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is, it's the listener. The people in the industry may not get it, but the listener does.
I agree. Okay. We actually kind of talked about that on the way here.
Because I haven't heard one track off of this album, and I've got another one coming up, that isn't a hit. And they're a hit on what's happening. And not at one location, but at two. Okay, so you're already a hit, and you're already a success, and that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
Thank you.
And audiences in the United Kingdom have certainly been, you know, more welcoming and more open and receptive to what Anna is all about. Mm-hmm. You know, Boston's always traditionally been kind of a rock and roll town. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're doing something that maybe has a little bit more finesse or beauty, and you know, sometimes that's people in Boston might not know, again, in certain industry people might not know, you know, how to respond to that.
But the people do, because, I mean, you know, the framework of the business world doesn't always follow what the people want.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, because, you know, there are little-known bands that pop up, and all of a sudden, they're a hit. And then there are those who have to go to New York to come back and become a hit in their own hometown.
Yeah.
You know, no names like Aerosmith, but...
Jimi Hendrix had to go to England.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Hendrix, I was watching a story about him about a week ago, and they said it was the quickest rise to success ever. 6 days, he went from being an unknown to being Hendrix.
Wow.
But he was the whole package, if you think about it. He was a guitarist. He was a singer-songwriter. He was a producer. He was an entertainer.
He was a fashion plate.
Yes, he had the whole thing, and he was true to himself.
Yeah,
that's important.
But he also never forgot who he was, because in that retrospective, they had his brother on there, and he was always very close to his brother, despite everything else that's going on. It was, you know, he didn't forget where he came from, and I think that's where some people go off, because, you know, the industry says you are, you know, Madonna, or you're, you know, Lady Gaga, and it's like, you're being yourself, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing they can't ever take away from you.
That's true. Your spirit. They can't. That's pretty cool.
So, kind of a great track coming to you off of Whisper. Take a listen. Enjoy.
You will never break my heart. Tread softly or you'll fall apart. Moonstones hide under my tongue. A haunting spell escapes my lungs. Bring the warning to me. Let me leave a warning ring. Let me lose you only mean. Fearless love you shall agree. I won't be alone tonight.
like that ending.
Thank you.
That's an instrument called an omnichord that is in the end there.
You know,
did it sound like a Witchy Love Spell song?
It did, but also, you know, with the, it also sounds like, you know, at, you're looking as you're driving and all of a sudden you stop at a train stop and the lights are flashing, ding, ding, ding,
oh,
ding,
cool.
ding, ding.
That's
and
awesome.
Then all of a sudden, nothing goes by.
Ooh, see, horror movie. Perfect. Mission accomplished.
It could be subliminal with the bells ringing. It's like a telephone. You got to answer it.
Yeah. See? Brilliant.
There you go.
It's awesome.
For whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. Yes.
Yes.
I do know that one.
We found one.
Yeah, there we go.
So, why whisper?
That's a really good question.
Because of album number one.
No one can say efflorescence. And efflorescence means a period of flowering. It shows up in the song Sumerian.
And so I thought it was just listened to, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought it would be appropriate to have my first record be called that. But a lot of people couldn't say it, and maybe it came across as pretentious. I'm not sure. But I wanted to pick a title that it was easy to say and also encompass the album. And I say whisper a lot in a lot of my tunes. In fact, I think every tune we've played so far has had the word whisper in it. Actually, I think we have, except maybe Palm Reader. I'm not sure. But anyway, definitely in Golden Room and Sumerian. But anyway, so I thought that would be the perfect title because it shows up in a lot of the songs, including the last one on the track. Record. Fingerprints.
That could be
there.
A contest. How many times is Whisper said?
Whisper,
in
the, yeah,
that would be.
It's in Luna.
It's in Luna. It's in. I'd have to go back and look, but it's in a lot of them. So.
We were at a social event for a charity in England last summer, and you know, one of the attendees at that event thought that efflorescence sounded like what, a bathroom product or a feminine product?
That killed
or
me. I was like, no. And then I couldn't shake that after. I was like, dang it.
Well, but you know what?
I think it's pretty, efflorescence.
It is. But also, some may hear it as effervescence, which is actually great too.
Yeah.
That's, you know,
bubbly.
Bubbly, creative, blooming.
Oh, interesting.
You know, so that.
That works.
It does work.
It's good always to stay positive no matter what type of negative imagery people want to throw on you.
Yeah, you're like, well, I'm sorry.
He was joking. And actually it's somebody who actually played on the record.
Yeah.
So he was just giving Anna a good-natured ribbing.
Yep.
Well, you know, being in the music and art field, there's always going to be people that are critics. But I think if you believe in yourself, you can say, well, that's an interesting view, and just keep plowing forward.
Yeah.
It's always important to do that. I'm not saying ignore everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically there's always going to be detractors. And
well, and they had a point, and it is hard for the general public to say because it's not a common word.
Yeah.
And a lot of, even if they do say it correctly, they might not know what it means. So
yeah.
Whisper is, you know, straight to the point, but still artistic and, you know, obviously represents the songs on the record in a good way. So.
But it's also not the writer's responsibility to dumb down their thoughts.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you know, to make the assumption that your audience doesn't understand a word is insulting to your audience.
Well, that's, see, you're giving them a learning situation.
That's true.
And due to the fact that everybody runs around with one of these.
Yeah.
He was pointing to his head.
Yeah, they could look it up.
They could look it up. I mean, I know there was a movie out recently my brother went to see, and my nephew got it. Okay, my nephew's going to be 17. He got the movie, but my brother, well, he's in his 50s, and had to go look up what certain things meant. And it's like,
I've done that before, actually. I've walked away from a movie, and I'd be like, what was the interpretation of that ending? Because I maybe had a different one, or maybe missed it somehow, and then after, yeah, like, we have the whole world at our fingertips. It's not that hard to learn nowadays, so that's...
Actually use it for good.
Yeah.
Use that power for something positive.
Yes. Because, I mean, I'm looking at it, and you're saying everything, every story, your songs, are all different parts of your life, and different people are going to interpret it differently.
Yeah, which is awesome. That's the point. That's perfect. That's the way it should be.
You're interpreting your vision and your story, not somebody else.
Yeah.
That's right. So they need to listen to not only the music, but also the words.
Yes. 'Cause
a lot of people will say words just because it's there. And they'll repeat the words, but they won't pay attention to what the song is.
Yeah.
You know, there have been a lot of songs over the years that we don't get the words. Because you hear it and it's played on the radio, but you don't have a chance to listen back to it. Similar to some television shows in the 60s, Rocky and Bullwinkle, okay? You have to go back and get the what they're really talking about. Or Roger Ramjet. I mean, they throw in a lot of things that are very adult, but a child is watching it. And when you're an adult, you get it.
Yeah.
But as a child, and I think, as people start listening to great artists like you.
Thank you.
They have to listen to it as a child to learn and grow with the music, to understand, just as a child would do, ask questions. You have questions, you know, they want to send you something on Facebook and say, oh, geez, this inspired me. What did this mean? A matter of fact, where can they find you?
They can find me at annamadsonmusic.com. And then I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram and Tumblr. But all of those places that you could find me anywhere on the web is actually going to be linked to my website. So the website's probably the best place to go. So it's annamadsonmusic.com.
And they can get your music where?
You can get it on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon. If you want a hard copy, you can order it from CD Baby or my website. But it's available everywhere. And if you're in the UK, I guess you can get it
at every HMV in the United Kingdom.
Which is cool. I'm very accessible.
What is If You Run about?
If You Run, that's autobiographical, but I pushed...
She was speaking to herself.
I was speaking to myself in that song, and I have had... the song is a conversation to another person, and I've had those conversations with dear girlfriends of mine before, so it could just come across like I'm talking to another woman, but I am talking to myself in that song, and it was about running away from an emotionally abusive lover. So that's what that song is about. And I wanted it to be a tango because one of my favorite tango songs is El Tango de Roxanne from Moulin Rouge. I love that interpretation of that song. And it's a very intense song and very passionate, and that's like how my relationship was with this person. It was very passionate and crazy and all over the place and, you know, pull back and forth, but I knew in the end that he was toxic for me, so I was trying to like sing to myself to remind myself of that. So that's the story behind that song.
So when you were having this conversation with yourself, where were you?
I write a lot of my songs in the shower and in the car. So I think this particular song, I don't remember where I wrote this song. I also do write a lot in a journal, and I used to talk to this person a lot on the phone, so I could have written it after talking to him on the phone. It was probably after I saw him and he lived in a different state is when I started writing this song to remind myself of why I should never go back. So it could have been an airport, actually. I don't when I wrote this song.
So then it would have been flying instead of running.
Oh, there you go.
Well, why don't we go to the music? Enjoy.
He may be charming, but he's so Machiavellian. He may be lovely, but so is a rose with thorns. I can't help you if you won't see his illusion. I can only help you if you run. He may be stunning, like a breath. But let me tell you something, he's as cold as a winter storm. I can't help you if you won't see his illusion. I can only help you if you run. Run far away, run away from him. Run far away from the man with the wicked grin. Run far away, run away from him. You don't know where that man has been. I told you I would help you, but you have to leave his side.
See, most people look at things as a waltz. As a tango, mm-hmm. it adds more of a personal feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Because a waltz, you need somebody else to do. A tango...
Yeah, you actually can do the tango by yourself. That's true. It's a very sensual dance as well, and there's a lot of push and pull on the dance floor with the tango, which is why I thought it was that would be an appropriate theme for that lyric content.
So, when do you head off on tour?
Well, I'm leaving on the 19th of April, and I'll be returning on May 7th. And I'm going to be all over the place. I'm going to be in London a couple times, Chiddingford. I'm also going to be in Wales and possibly Spain. So,
well, there you go for the tango.
There you go.
You know, that is a thought too.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to be in Spain, contact a station in Spain.
Yeah, we actually, she's going to be doing, well, we're going to be doing an acoustic acoustic performance on Barcelona City Radio. So
that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. You know, that's,
if nothing else, that's a really cool experience. I'm really excited about this tour because, I mean, what a cool opportunity to be able to tour the United Kingdom and parts of Europe performing my own music. So, like, you know, when I'm a grandmother someday, like, that's going to be a really cool thing to talk about. Like, that's my life. Like, that's going to be really, really cool. So.
Live life with no regrets.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Like, you know, like, what a cool experience. So I'm really excited about
Cherish
that.
Your mistakes and move on.
There you go.
And where are you performing locally?
Well, I have a couple shows. I'm going to be doing the Bull Run with Sarah Berrios on this coming Thursday at 7. Both her and I have been nominated for New England Music Awards. Oh, thank you. She's really great. I really enjoy her personality. She's a sweetheart, so I get to perform with her. And then I have a show at Area 23 in Concord.
New Hampshire.
On April 7th. And then that will be my last show before I head on tour.
And do you have... What are you going to be creating at the Genesis...
There are a couple of things happening. I'm actually going to produce another artist who has actually been to the United States to work with me and the guys from Rocking Horse Studio. We have a good team of session musicians who are actually all going to be on this tour. So he had sent me an email saying, hey, I wish I could come back to America. I've got these songs. And I said, well, you know what? We're all going to be in England. So why don't we talk to Mike and Tony and see about going into the farm to record some songs. So we're going to be doing that. He's a big fan of what Anna does. So Anna sang on the bunch of tunes that we did in the autumn. So she's going to be singing on a couple of his songs. And then we're going to spend a day with different special guests collaborating with Anna on some of Anna's material. So
yeah.
It's a little up in the air as far as who, the who, and the what, but we do
well,
know the
when. Well, if she was performing with the who, that'd be interesting.
The surviving members?
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm excited.
And who do you listen to today?
Well, the only band that I really fangirl about hardcore is Imagine Dragons, and I... Brian has seen me fangirl over them. Normally I'm cool and calm and collected until Imagine Dragons. I love them. I also really love the Civil Wars. I know they're not together anymore, but I really love their music. And I listen to, actually lately I've been listening to a lot of Frank Sinatra, Michael Bublé, and more like big band swing stuff. But I also love listening to Whitney Houston and Huey Lewis in the News.
I've caught her dancing and singing to that as well.
Yeah, so I guess my musical tastes are all over the place, but lately it's been more like Big Bang Swing and 80s music the past couple weeks. And Imagine Dragons' new single, because it was
and
awesome.
What about musical theater? Because you said that was a big influence.
That's a great question. Actually, so a huge, 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 huge musical influence on my music is Andrew Lloyd Webber. And my favorite musical is Phantom of the Opera. So you can hear that inspiration on Golden Room and a couple of other tunes, like we call it the Scary Phantom of the Opera Organ. So I really love them. I love Hello Dolly too. That's another favorite. And I also like...
Now, whose version of Hello Dolly?
I like the one with Barbra Streisand.
We've actually performed that song live, one of the songs from it.
Yeah, so I like West Side Story a lot too. I thought the music is really wonderful in that, and The Music Man's another good one.
Well, The Music Man was, I think that was the debut of Shirley Jones, and also Little Ronnie Howard.
No kidding.
Yeah, that Ron Howard. Because he played her brother. And of course, anybody can play an instrument. But it's all in your mind.
Yeah.
But as they found out, it was all in their mind and their hearts.
Yeah. I just love musical theater. It's so happy. And Brian mentioned earlier, I really love Bollywood too. So there's a Bollywood film called Kuchi Kuchi Hota Hai. And that's one of my favorites.
Is she allowed to say that on the air?
Sure.
What did I say?
We don't know.
Oh, it's Hindi. Sorry.
Well, so we hope that was all right.
Yeah, no, it's a Hindi.
Well, from WMFO, from What's Happening Boston Rock, we really thank you for coming in today
thank
and sharing
you
your hour
me.
With us. And recap where you've been contacted.
AnnaMadsenMusic.com.
Okay. We're going to be going out with another nominee to a Boston Music Awards, Flight of Fire. Great, they got a great video on a song called My Last Gamble. We're going to be going out with that. And we hope you enjoyed this episode of Boston Room Rock. This is WMFO in Bedford, 91.5 FM, free-forming radio.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Mike.
I'm Anna Manson.
And I'm Brian Coombs.
And you have a fantastic rest of the weekend.
You as well.
Anna, have a great tour. And
thank you.
Matter of fact, you're going to be at the Bullring on Thursday, correct?
Thursday.
Yes.
So get out there and see her and get her music. This music is sensational.
Thank you.
Here on WMFO in Medford.
Leap of faith, and I'm prepared.